Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My watching of 80s movies is coming to a close. I gave you guys my word that I would watch Empire Strikes Back. Rob told me that is the best Star Wars movie. That's what I was told from Robert Lamar Brenton. I went on Disney Plus. They have all the Star Wars movies available. Rob, I watched and took notes on Empire Strikes Back. I have not told you my official review yet. Most of the time, I give you an idea of what I think about the movie, but I don't give you my number grade. This is one of your favorite films of all time. You're a big Star Wars person. I come in as a Star Wars novice. I don't know much about the series other than basic knowledge of it. I don't really know anything about the story. I watched Empire Strikes Back. I watched half of it last night. Fell asleep, woke up, watched the remaining hour and 15 minutes today. I will give you my official review. We also have a special guest joining us with their reaction to my review. So if we're winding this down and this is one of your favorite movies, Rob, let's do Empire Strikes Back right. Text line, I'm sure you're going to cook me for my feelings and thoughts on Empire Strikes Back. Or maybe you won't. We don't know. That's coming up in exactly 15 minutes. I want to play...
Real quick, by the way.
Oh, we got breaking news.
Ian Rappaport, the Steelers are signing Melvin Ingram to a one-year deal.
Steelers.
The former Charger star is now headed to Pittsburgh right before camp begins. So, Melvin Ingram dreams dashed. He's a Steeler as of right now.
Oh. Don't give us breaking news for bad news, bro.
Still news?
Don't give us bad news.
I was only break good news on this show? Come on now.
I think Melvin Ingram signed a two-year contract. That's what I'm going to go on the limb and guess. I'm going to go on the limb and say that Melvin Ingram has signed a two-year, $12 million deal with Pittsburgh.
Ian Rappaport reports, one-year contract for Melvin Ingram. Don't have the numbers yet on the money, but it is a one-year deal for Melvin Ingram to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Why is he not in Kansas City on a one-year deal?
It's an excellent question.
So he signed a one-year, $8 million deal, and that's Kansas City didn't want to do that?
Still waiting on the price tag, but yes, according to Ian Rappaport, it's a one-year deal for Melvin Ingram.
Wow. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm surprised. I mean, then there's no viable pass rush option then other than Justin Houston. There's no viable option. No team is releasing a player that is a legitimate sack artist in August. You find a way to make room for that guy on your roster, or he's not a guy you think can get to the quarterback. Those are the only two available options, is Melvin Ingram or Justin Houston. Justin Houston hasn't taken a visit. There's been no media rumor, smoke, fire to suggest that there's going to be a reunion possible between those two teams. So they're out on pass rush then. I don't want to fear monger. I know I get called Buzz Killington and Charger Dodd. It's hard to keep up with all the nicknames I've been given. I think the Chiefs are playing a dangerous game defensively. I think they're really inexperienced at corner. They're also inconsistent at pass rush. Those two things typically don't mesh well. it's really hard to have an inconsistent pass rush and inexperience in your cornerback group. And the Chiefs are trying to do that. Now, they've got great safety play. It's not that I don't think they have good defensive linemen. They certainly do. But right now, they are banking on Frank Clark being exactly what they've paid him to be, and he hasn't really shown that pretty consistently in his time here in Kansas City. And they're also counting that Chris Jones can be a viable defensive end. It's a lot of moving parts with this defense. The offense is the offense. They're going to be one of the top eight highest scoring teams in the NFL this year. They're putting a lot on a defense that is pretty inconsistent when it comes to rushing the passer. A linebacker group that I'd say is pretty thin and very inexperienced corners. I think they're playing a dangerous game when it comes to the defense and rolling the dice. I would have really liked Melvin Ingram. A one-year proven veteran linebacker a couple weeks before camp that you can just add water, instant add to the offense, or excuse me, defense. I would have loved to pick up that player. The Steelers did it. That's a Steelers kind of move. I said in the 2 o'clock hour, those are the kind of moves that the Steelers typically do and they typically work out for them. Remember they did the same thing with Joe Hayden a couple years ago when Joe Hayden got released from the Browns? Obviously different position, but this is the kind of move that the Steelers do or the Patriots did when they picked up Jamie Collins. This is a really good move for Pittsburgh.
This is really smart by the Steelers. And the fact that Steelers are really smart is really frustrating as a Chiefs fan because you're right. The pass rush is inconsistent. On top of all the inconsistencies, they now have to believe they're going to get their money's worth out of Frank Clark, which is fine to believe, but we all believe he's going to end up on the commissioner's list in some capacity and miss games because he was just charged last week with a crime in California. So not only are they betting on getting their money's worth, they're betting on him being on the field. Josh Kando, Mike Dana, Taco Charlton better all be good this year, or one of them, if not multiple of them, need to be better than Melvin Ingram is for the Steelers, because Melvin Ingram goes to Pittsburgh and looks really good replacing Bud Dupree, and that triumvirate the Chiefs has of two of rookie, a second year guy, and a rotational piece don't look good. The Chiefs missed on Melvin Ingram, especially considering we know they had him in for a visit. We know that.
Text line 913-576-7610. I think they put too much faith and stock into Spags' defensive scheme. I do think that Spags' defensive scheme has worked out really well, and it's going to show their ability to maximize the parts that they have. But they have passed on 2 one-year deals on veterans that make a lot of sense for, in theory, younger, more unproven players. They had a chance to get Bashaud Breeland on a nothing one-year deal, and they passed on Bashaud Breeland coming back. And they're putting a lot of hope in Charvarius Ward, Rashad Fenton, and those guys to really step up and be the number two behind L'Jarius Sneed. And then when it comes to pass rush, they have put a lot of faith in what could potentially happen with Frank Clark, and to your point, Taco Charlton. They're counting on what they saw from Taco Charlton in a very limited asset, they can get comparable production to what Melvin Ingram's going to do. So to me, that's what we need to evaluate. Who's better this upcoming season? Is it going to be Taco Charlton or Melvin Ingram?
That's the question that Brett Veach has to get right now. I mean, it's that simple. I know Brett Veach did a good job. I have my differences with Brett Veach, but that's kind of just life to me. But if you're going to bet on a day three pick in Josh Kane, a day three pick in Mike Dana, and a one-year prove-it deal in Taco Charlton being better than Melvin Ingram, who's an established pass rusher, you better be right. Now, as I point out, Melvin Ingram has had some health issues, and it's possible that he gets hurt again because he's often injured. So maybe the Chiefs did their due diligence, and they realized, you know what? He's not going to be healthy enough. We'll roll the dice with what we have. And that's very possible it works out that way. But if Ingram's healthy this year and has a good season, and the triumvirate of Dana Charlton and Josh Kando all look like developmental, not there yet players, then it was a miss by the whole staff, specifically Brett Veach, because it's his job.
Yeah, I also just look at it. I think the Chiefs clearly believe that they can make it work on the cheap at corner, and their history and track record proves that they should be up to that call. I haven't got super up in arms about corner based on the track record. I've done that for the last two seasons. You guys have said, trust in Veach, trust in Veach, and Veach has been right. Now, I would spend more resources on the cornerback situation than the Chiefs do. I still feel that way, but it's hard to argue with the results and what they've been able to turn out. They've been able to get fourth, fifth, sixth round corners and turn them into guys we think could be ones, twos, and threes in their cornerback group. There's no reason to believe they can do that when it comes to pass rushers. They haven't done it with anybody. I guess Emmanuel Ogba, but we're also talking about a guy who was a former second round pick. So a worthwhile prospect, but they have no track record of Joshua Kando, at least in year one, being a guy who can help this team. I'm not saying that he won't be able to help this team at some point, but there's no history and track record that suggests that they're going to turn Joshua Kando in year one into a guy who's going to have six sacks this year. If that happens, then it answers the biggest problem that they have potentially on their defense, which is a lack of a pass rush. But I would say right now they're counting on two things. They're counting on Chris Jones being able to make a seamless transition to the outside, and he's going to be a guy who can give you nine sacks or more. And they're counting on Frank Clark being the Frank Clark that they paid, despite the 2 years of evidence and data to suggest that that's not who he is.
The only player I can think of they've done that with is Tershawn Wharton, but let's see. There's 1 year in. Let's see what happens. And he was an undrafted guy. In the macro, what's frustrating for me, and again, that's on the macro, is we talk about the pass rush having issues, being inconsistent, and so on and so forth, and that's true, but you can't continue to have your most expensive position group be mediocre. I mean, mediocre is probably a little bit unfair, but if you're going to throw money at the D-line, which is the opposite of what they've done at corner, you need to have the money pit be successful. It's great that you spend no money at corner and get great production, but the places you spend money on, you need to get your money's worth, and pass rush continues to not be that thing for the Chiefs.
Yeah, no, it does continue. It's hard to say that pass rush isn't that thing with the amount of money that they've spent on Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I certainly get what you mean. They haven't really spent any additional resources. It's kind of like they spent money on those two things and said, have at it. But I would push back on the notion that they haven't spent significantly on their defensive line. Now, I don't think we can really argue, are they getting what they paid for with their defensive line? You paid Frank Clark to be a top five pass rusher in the league. He's not a top five pass rusher in the league. Chris Jones is one of the top three to five nose tackles in the NFL. What does that look like if he only plays 30% of his snaps at nose tackle and they move him out to defensive end where it's much more of a premium to get to the quarterback? So they've certainly spent money and resources on the defensive line. It's just the, are you getting what you're paying for when it comes to their defensive line?
Yeah, and that's my point. You're right. They have absolutely spent the money and the resources to make the defensive line one of the best units in the NFL. But if they're going to spend all that money on that unit, they need to get their money's worth and have that unit be one of the best in the NFL. And to date, what they have is a very inconsistent pass rush with two guys that are paid premium money, one of which has never lived up to the contract. And I don't think he probably has deserved the contract. And actually might not even play a full season this year because of a gun charge. And the other person who I believe is one of the better nose tackles in the NFL, and their plan is to be like, hey, you're great at this, go do something different. I think that's just robbing Peter to pay Paul. So you're right. They have definitely committed resources to D-line. They have not gotten a little bit of what their money's worth is with spending on that position.
And then looking back on last year and the snap counts, they really liked Tershawn Wharton. It's hard to argue that they're not a big fan given how much he was on the field. So the only defensive linemen who played more snaps than he did last year are Frank Clark, Tano Passanio, and Chris Jones. So Wharton played more than Nnadi, more than Pinnell, more than Mike Dana, more than Colin Saunders. They really like Tershawn Wharton. So he's going to be asked to step up. He had two sacks last year. Can you go from getting two sacks to five sacks with him? Another thing to note, Rob, when it comes to pass rush, was at the end of the season, they had five consecutive games in which they got sacked from a secondary player. So Snead coming off the bench, or Snead coming off the corner, DeAndre Baker had a sack last year, Tyron Matthew. Maybe they're thinking, all right, we're not going to have a consistent third pass rusher, at least when it comes to the defensive line. But if we can get six sacks this season from these two spots on the field in terms of corner and safety blitzes, that can alleviate some of the pressure on our defensive line and create some pressure up front. Coming up on the other side, Rob has been asking me to watch Empire Strikes Back for my 80s movie. I watched it on Disney Plus. I give you my official review to Rob's favorite Star Wars movie. Plus, we'll be joined by a special guest. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rob is getting our special guest on the line. So, I have watched a lot of 80s movies over the last 3 weeks. I'm starting to feel like this bit is coming to an end, but it has been a very enjoyable experience. We have an off day tomorrow and an off day Wednesday. This is a very disjointed week. So if we're at the end, then I feel it has been a worthwhile journey and endeavor watching these 80s movies. I've seen a lot of movies that I liked in this experience. I loved Back to the Future. I loved Platoon, Indiana Jones, 16 Candles. There were some movies that I didn't love. Was not a huge fan of the Goonies. I stopped watching St. Elmo's Fire. Hated Vacation. There's been some good, there's been some bad, there's been some ugly, but this has been a worthwhile journey, a worthwhile journey. Rob, I am ready to give you my official review for Empire Strikes Back. So I start watching the movie. I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. I had absolutely no clue who the guy was at the very beginning of the movie. I just see this guy and he's on some kind of creature. I'm sure you'll tell me what kind of creature it was. And it looked like he got killed by the abominable snowman. That's what it looked like. He was just riding in this blizzard and then he gets attacked by the abominable snowman. And then the next time I see this individual, he is hanging upside down. And then there's some little thing in the snow. I later found out what it was. It was just hanging there in the snow, and then he just magically could make it move with his hand. So I legitimately said out loud to myself, so this dude just has magical powers? I didn't know who he was yet, but I then quickly come to know who this individual was as I'm watching this movie. So then, Rob, I continue to go on as I'm watching the movie, and this is where it did take me, Rob, like an hour to kind of understand what was going on. Because I knew some of the characters. Like, I knew, all right, hey, that's Harrison Ford. That's Han Solo. Hey, that's Carrie Fisher. I know that that's Princess Leia. And there was, like, some unresolved sexual tension between the two. So I'm thinking, oh, something must have happened in the first one that I just don't know anything about. They're arguing, and they're doing all this kind of stuff. You're only arguing with somebody like that if you have unresolved sexual tension. So I don't know what happened in the first Star Wars movie, but I imagine something happened in the Star Wars movie. I'm not going to lie to you. Whenever Luke Skywalker just randomly starts talking to this individual just out of nowhere, I had no clue who he was. He was like, Ben, I don't know who Ben is. Who is Ben? I then think I later figured out who Ben was. So for the first like 45 minutes of the movie, I was not pretty aware of what was going on. And I'm not going to lie to you. Magically, the movie just turned. The last hour of the movie was fairly enjoyable. And then it left me on a cliffhanger where I'm thinking, damn, that's it. I want to know what happens. All of a sudden, they Jaime Lannister, my guy Luke Skywalker, and I got a lot of thoughts on him because he might actually be one of the worst characters in the movie. So they cut his hand off, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to give my dog his limbs back, but then they figure that out. They then have the Luke, I am your father scene, and I'm like, wow, that's cool. Like, I had always heard it, but I didn't really have any frame of reference. But then the movie just ends. They're just now in space, and I have no clue what happens. Are they going to go back and get Han Solo? Is he there by himself? What's going to happen in this? I'm going to give Empire Strikes Back an 8. I'm going to give it an 8 for this reason. Not because I was confused on certain things. I don't like any of the characters you guys tell me I'm supposed to like if I like Star Wars. Luke Skywalker was miserable for most of the movie. He reminded me of Jon Snow from those middle seasons of Game of Thrones. Remember when Jon Snow was just walking around the projects? When he's just like walking around the wall? That's what Luke Skywalker was for most of the movie. I didn't care at all when his hand got chopped off. I was actually kind of happy. What is the CP3O? The little
C3PO.
You know the little gold thing who looks like he needs some WD-40. He just walks very stiff. His joints haven't been lubricated in quite some time. One of my favorite parts in the movie, Rob, was when they turned him off. When he's backseat driving in the little spaceship. What's that called? The Starship Enterprise?
The Millennium Falcon. Don't do this. The Millennium, don't do this.
Okay, I don't know the name of the thing.
I was happy with your 8, and I understood your 8 because you didn't see the first
the names
one.
Of these
but don't
things.
Don't be calling it the Starship Enterprise. Don't be doing this to me.
Okay. So when they're in the ship, I'll just call it. I don't know any names when they're in the ship. And CP3O or whatever the little gold robot's name was. Whenever he's talking and Carrie Fisher turns him off was one of my favorite things in the movie. He was one of the most annoying characters I've ever seen in a movie. I also don't understand how they could ever understand Chewbacca, but everything he was saying made perfect sense. Like, he would just make a sound and I was like, oh, I know what he's trying to communicate. And they understood perfectly too. The little R2-D2, he was a complete waste of time. Like, I don't even know why he was in the movie. Like, what's his purpose? I'm sure you're going to tell me what his purpose was. I had no clue what his purpose was in the film. Yoda was kind of annoying. Yoda, like, really didn't end up doing anything. Like, Yoda didn't really help Luke Skywalker, like, figure anything out. Like, he basically took, like, 6 weeks of his 12-week course and then was like, hey, I got all I need from this. I'm just going to drop out of your class and then go fight it for the same. It was a lot of stuff in there that was kind of stupid to me, honestly. I was kind of mad. It was no black people in space this entire time. And then they had me think that the black dude was going to be the snake and was going to turn on him. So I was low-key kind of mad about it. But then he ended up trying to help him and trying to save him. And he did end up saving Carrie Fisher. He might have liked her, but it don't matter. He ended up saving her. He ended up saving her friends. I actually got more invested in the last 45 minutes to an hour than I thought I was going to be invested. I see why people love it the way that they love it. I'm going to give Empire Strikes Back an 8. It's not one of my 5 favorite movies that I've watched, but I definitely have an understanding. If you like sci-fi movies, I understand why you are so attached to Star Wars, and I am curious to know how the story continues and if they go get Han Solo back. Because now he's over there and he's frozen. He's in the cryogenic chamber thing and they froze my guy and I don't know what happens to him. So I want to know.
I feel like if you had seen the first one, your review would have been better because you seem to have enjoyed the movie. You just were confused by some plot points from a previous movie, which I know the text line's been cooking me. Rob, why'd you tell me to watch the second one, not the first one? First off, the bit, it's 80s movies. First one came out
you
in the
70s. You told me this was the best one.
It is the best one. First off, the bit is called 80s movies. Second off, the first one came out in the 70s. This is the best movie. I don't understand why I didn't love Yoda. Do or do not. There is no try. Come on. Now he's out here imparting wisdom without imparting wisdom. It's an incredible man.
Yoda was talking like how those fake celebrity parody accounts tweet, like how they just like talk about these fake gems. That's basically what I thought Yoda was doing for most of the movie.
He's imparting wisdom without learning.
He imparted wisdom on Luke Skywalker, and Luke didn't really use it or didn't really learn anything from Yoda. Yoda just appeared. Yoda was just in the movie.
What'd you think of Boba Fett? Boba Fett's cool.
He's okay.
Okay.
Wow. He was okay. It was It was okay. I'm not going to lie to you. I was actually cheering for the bad guys for most of the movie. The bad guys seemed way cooler. Darth Vader was killing people over FaceTime. Like, the people weren't listening to what he was saying. He was like, yo, you're dead. And then he would just choke them to death via Zoom. Like, how are you not rooting for those guys to win? What made you want to root for Princess Leia in that movie? What? She didn't do anything. She was just around. She didn't save anybody. She didn't have any memorable parts. Yeah, she was just around. I'm giving it an 8. All right, this person requested to come on today to talk about my review. I wanted them to hear my review before we get their opinion. Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by afternoon host of 670 The Score in Chicago. Park, what's good?
I honestly hate you.
What did I do? I gave you my honest reaction to the film.
I don't like you anymore.
What did I do? That's my... I followed the rules. This whole week, everybody's been saying, watch Empire Strikes Back. I watched it. I gave it an 8. It was a good movie.
All idiots. Rob's an idiot. Those Texters are idiots. You're an idiot. Everyone's an idiot. You watched the greatest sequel of all time without seeing the original. Without watching the origin story. He's like Jon Snow in those middle seasons of Game of Thrones. Yeah, you know why you have that opinion of Jon Snow? Because you saw him at the beginning and the end. Like, I don't find Luke Skywalker likable. Yeah, because it's a character over multiple movies with a long arc, and you didn't watch the beginning. You're like a guy who saw a home run and only saw the ball go into the stands. You're like, it was a nice swing. You didn't see the swing. Star Wars is a story that you have to watch. No one's like, I love Harry Potter. It's the best book series of all time. Oh, yeah, which is your favorite? I don't know. I only read the third one. No one says that because then you're not a Harry Potter fan or you don't know Harry Potter unless you've read all the books. You're literally out of the Big Lebowski. You're the child who walks into the movie with no frame of reference. And then, in your case, you have a 50,000-watt blowtorch to just disseminate these awful Star Wars takes with no context whatsoever. Oh, it's my reality. I reviewed the movie. I did my assignment. I followed the rules. Those are stupid rules. It's a stupid game, and I'm mad at you for what you just said over the last 6 minutes.
Can you give me your review of the film? What was I off on? I just want to know what I'm wrong about the film. I think it was a very good movie. I see how people are such fans of the Star Wars franchise. I'm not going to lie to you. About an hour in, I was thinking there was no way I'd be ever interested in watching another one. I would go home and I would watch the third Star Wars after that because I do want to know what happens to Han Solo as now he is in that cryogenic chamber.
Right, but Carrington, you have to understand how patronizing it is a good movie. I do see how these people get it. It's one of the most successful movies in the history of film. It was made for $30 million in, 1980? Is that what you said? It grossed, half a billion at the box office domestically, and is now, it launched the franchise into superstardom. Not that the New Hope wasn't successful, but, it crossed over. It became this cultural phenomenon that it is now. And so it's similarly to Game of Thrones. You don't have to like sci-fi to like Game of Thrones. It's good storytelling. Empire Strikes Back is brilliant storytelling, and you don't know the story because it's chapter 2 and you didn't read chapter 1. It's just ridiculous. It's a ridiculous review. So even though some of your points, right, are true, movie gets better as you go, they left you hang with the cliffhanger, all of those things, it's an odyssey. It's an epic. It's a long tale. And you just you came in the middle, and then you had hot Skip Bayless-like takes as if you had watched the entire game. You basically wrote a book report off of Cliff Notes. You are doing a post-game show for the game by watching the condensed version on MLB.com. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. I regret having you on the show today. You asked to come on the show. I extended a gracious invitation. All you've done is yell at me for the last 5 minutes. That's all you've done is yell at me. You know what? Just for this, I'm changing my review to Empire Strikes Back 6.5, and you can blame Danny Parkins for that. 6.5 for the film now.
No one who likes Empire Strikes Back cares about your opinion on Empire Strikes Back because you didn't see A New Hope. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous thing. I can't even believe. Fine. We'll still be friends. What are your top 5 movies from the 80s? All sequels? What are your movies? Give me your bad takes on the other 80s movies that I've
okay. Okay, hold on. You know what? Let's focus in on another movie that I know you feel very strongly about. Ghostbusters was dumb.
Ghostbusters.
Okay, I didn't know because I know you're from Chicago. You love Harold Ramis. You love Bill Murray. Ghostbusters was not very enjoyable. I did not like it.
Ghostbusters, Star Wars, I feel like you could appreciate the special effects and like put it in the context of its time. Like, holy crap, George Lucas created another world in outer space, and like it was groundbreaking with its technology. Like, the special effects of Ghostbusters were kind of lame when they came out, and so it's aged horribly. Like, I get why Ghostbusters was a thing when it was a thing. But no, like, I'm Stripes, Animal House, Caddyshack, Trading Places, Coming to America. I know you did Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, Blues Brothers. Those are my movies from that era.
I would say that my top 5 favorite 80s movies that I've seen that I hadn't seen before: Platoon, Indiana Jones, Back to the Future. I only watched the first one. E.T. And for my 5th one, I'd probably say Top Gun. Like, I got really invested in Top Gun the last like 45 minutes. Like, I was kind of on edge, like, man, what's going to happen in Top Gun? I would say those are probably my 5 favorite movies that I've seen so far in these 80s. Platoon, Indiana Jones, Back to the Future, E.T., Top Gun.
Yeah, it's just so mind-boggling that you haven't seen any of those films. Like, I feel like I failed you. I feel like your father failed you. I feel like your friends failed you. I feel like you failed you. I just remember when your dad came on the show, he said, I'm disgusted.
Oh, I remember.
Because you couldn't take off a bra. I've never related to your father. I'm disgusted. And Top Gun's great. I don't know how you're not hooked on Top Gun from the opening scene. That movie is just a banger start to finish. Just nonstop action the entire way. Like, what possible negative critique could you have of Top Gun? That movie's incredible.
I thought it was kind of depressing in the very beginning, and to me it was so much about love in the first 45 minutes of it, and there wasn't really a whole lot. Like, they weren't really doing anything in the first 45 minutes. Like, they were flying planes, but they weren't really shooting down any planes. And then whenever Goose died, oh my goodness, I was just hooked from that moment on.
Well, right, but why do you think you're invested when Goose dies? It's because you came to like him over the first 45 minutes of the movie.
I didn't really like anybody else, though. I didn't like anybody else, though.
Oh, well, I mean, Iceman? You didn't like Iceman? You didn't like Val?
No, I hated him. I hated his homeboy. I thought they were two clowns. I didn't really understand how he was dating his superior, and that just never came up in the movie. Like, you're just openly dating this girl in front of everybody, and nobody has a question about this?
Carrington, I don't know if you saw the scene in the bar, but she had lost that love and feeling. You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, baby. But baby, believe me, I know it. You've lost that love and feeling. Oh, that love and feeling. You lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone.
I lost the love and feeling for this phone call.
That's
gone.
That's how he got her. He saying. He swept it off her feet in the bar. You got to watch the movie closer, man.
I don't have any desire to do this anymore after that singing. You've ruined it. I thought we were having a lot of fun, and you had to cross the line. I hope you enjoy your 6-11 football team that you have to cover this year. I appreciate you coming on.
Big O, were we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. What kind of – what? You thought we were having a personal conversation? You know what I'm doing during this time. I don't get all the vacation time that you get. You get 6 weeks vacation. I get 1 week. I got to really pick and choose.
Yeah, that's true. That sucks for you.
All right, man, I'll catch you. All right, that's Danny Parkins joining us on the show today. Goodness gracious. It was so bad. Someone said, what am I listening to? I was trying to figure that out, too. It was really bad singing from Danny Parkins. Do I need to go back and watch the first Star Wars?
I mean, yes, you absolutely do.
Is it worse than that movie?
It's worse in the Star Wars sense, but it's still a good movie.
Okay.
The one movie, you know, like, basically, after Return of the Jedi, everything they've made since 2000, don't watch.
So I need to watch the first three.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Okay, so I need to watch the three old ones, and then I'm done. I don't need to watch anything else.
You're basically good. You can maybe
How many Star Wars movies is it? Like, eight?
There's nine.
There's nine Star Wars movies?
Plus,
yo, how can y'all keep making fun of Fast and the Furious? Come on now.
Plus two spinoffs, so 11. 11 films, and I guess if you count the TV universe now, there's that, because Mandalorian exists. So I guess 11 in a TV show.
Oh, my goodness. What is going on here?
I mean, you know what it
Nine?
Does?
Nine?
You know what it does the Fast and Furious doesn't? It has continuity. They don't kill someone off in the first movie and bring him back in the third, but yeah, he's just alive now.
I mean,
like they do with Han 10 times.
I mean, Han Solo he's in a cryogenic chamber right now. That's equivalent to killing him off. He's like frozen in time, and they left him a galaxy away. They gotta hit a U-turn and go save my guy. They gotta hit a U-E. Somebody said Rogue One's the best Star Wars
Rogue
movie.
One is fire. I mean, I'm not even gonna lie. Rogue One's incredible.
Is that like a recent one? I don't know.
Rogue One is a recent one. If you haven't seen the original three, though, you'll be very confused by Rogue
One. Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. I don't know.
Rogue One. You're right. Good. Also, The Mandalorian, also incredible, but those aren't, like, they're not canon to the franchise. Okay. So,
like, tomorrow, could I watch and appreciate and understand The Mandalorian? Like, if I decided...
Not without having finished the original three.
Okay, so I got to watch the first three, and then I could watch The Mandalorian.
Then you'll enjoy The Mandalorian.
Okay. All right. The text line is also saying Clone Wars is good.
TV series, yep, it's good.
Okay, all right. And you've seen all of this stuff. Like you're fully invested.
All in.
You're all in.
100% in.
Okay. I'm not. I'm the opposite of all in.
Marvel and Star Wars, where I let my geek flag fly.
Which one do you like more, the Marvel universe or the Star Wars universe?
As far as like can just sit down and watch, or as far as like
Like right now, like you could never watch, like you can never go back and rewatch either one of those. So like you couldn't rewatch any Marvel movie that's been made, or you could never watch Star Wars.
Probably no more Star Wars because mostly because like the last movie they made, The Rise of Skywalker, was so horrible. I mean, there are a lot of words I would describe that movie with. I can't use on the radio. Just awful. J.J. Abrams just ruined an entire franchise in one movie. One foul swoop. He ruined everything. It drove me insane. So if I had to lose Star Wars forever, it means they lose that movie forever, which is addition by subtraction. So I would say Marvel over Star Wars. But if J.J. Abrams hadn't just absolutely set fire to a franchise I love, I would have taken Star Wars over Marvel. But J.J. Abrams out here ruining my love.
Okay. Someone said, also, how is it possibly acceptable to not watch all nine movies in Star Wars? I don't know if you got nine movies of that. I don't know if you got nine movies of my interest. If I got to watch the OG three, I am now open to doing it. I'm open to it. I'm open. I'm not saying I will. I consider watching it. I do want to see what happens with Han, though. It has left my man on this galaxy with these other people? They just left them? How could they do that? The text line is throwing out other Star Wars movies that I need to watch. It seems like Clone Wars is very popular on the text line right now.
Correct. That's it's an animated series that fits within, in between the first, I guess it's the prequel movies, so technically in between Attack of the Clones and the third one, but... don't watch prequels.
Someone says, I would like The Mandalorian if I want to see the bad guys win. I was 100% rooting for Darth Vader for most of the movie. And I was trying to figure out why he's not more popular. I was trying to wonder why he wasn't more popular. He was great. He was killing people on Zoom. He had a cool voice. He had people that just like followed and listened to him. So hold on, I just want to be clear here. The white guys, so the guys in the white suits, those are the stormtroopers, right?
Stormtroopers, yep.
They were weak. I mean, you got to have a stronger crew than what he had, though. His crew was weak.
He's got the largest army in the galaxy.
They were weak. Every time it was smoke, they got absolutely beat up. Absolutely beat up. Every single time. You know what the stormtroopers remind me of? They remind me of the putties from Power Rangers. Just got beat up every single time they were on the screen.
I mean, they are your basic, generic henchman crew that's a lot in the movies to get beat up. That's life.
Okay.
Every James Bond movie has that character. We don't complain about those movies.
Okay. All right. I might need to continue to watch Star Wars, so text line can love and accept me again.
The people on the text line that are telling you to watch Phantom Menace are about to catch a block, just so we're all on the same page.
I don't know anything about it. I'm only going off what you guys are telling me to go off of. I don't understand. This is a whole new world to me. I finally feel like I somewhat understand it. I still don't fully understand it, but I feel like I somewhat understand it. Coming up on the other side, there were two pieces of audio I want to play for you guys. We'll do that coming up. Binkley will join us in studio. He's hot and bothered about Melvin Ingram. There's a lot going on right now. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I keep saying that I'm going to play this audio, and at some point I promise you I'll play it. something just hit me during the text line as I was going back and I was reading the text line. So I gave my review of Empire Strikes Back. Rob tells me that's the best Star Wars movie, and I gave it an 8, which I think is a very fair and reasonable score. And the reaction to it has not been what I had anticipated. A good friend of mine, Danny Parkins, a guy who I would consider to be a close friend. I was at his wedding. I went to his bachelor party. I've bought his kid a gift. I mean, we're close. He called up to yell at me for 5 minutes. I didn't think I deserved that. Text line is nonstop yelled at me. And I've come to this conclusion, Rob. And you're both of these, so you'll even understand what I'm saying. Star Wars guy might be worse than soccer guy. Soccer guy's gotten a little bit cool over the last 3 to 4 years. Soccer guy is certainly a lot more, it doesn't matter if you don't like it or not. There's enough of us that do like it. We're not really cared with the rest of you guys anymore. I'm not saying soccer guy is cool. I'm saying soccer guy is cool with you not liking soccer. That wasn't the case in 2014. Soccer guy was mad you weren't a soccer guy. Not the case anymore. Soccer guy's a little bit more cool, a little bit more calm and collected. There's a place they can go amongst their soccer brethren and feel accepted and feel the love. They know whenever there's a major sporting event, they know exactly where to go to get that love that they want so much. Soccer guy's actually gotten all right. I don't got any issues with soccer guy anymore. I used to. I don't have any issues. I didn't know that Star Wars guy was so mean, so angry. Star Wars guy might be worse than soccer guy. That might need to be our next game. Our next draft needs to be worst guy. Star Wars guy might be pretty high on the list. I'll still always contend that the worst guy is fantasy football guy. Fantasy football guy is the most annoying person ever. Fantasy football guy is really annoying. Rob, when I think about it, you might be a lot of these guys. Like, now that I'm really thinking about it, because you definitely have never thought that your team has ever committed a foul. Like, you go to Allen Fieldhouse and you have booed every travel call, every foul. You say the same joke about the ref. Hey, ref, get off your knees. Everybody in your section just laughs at it. Like, that's the first time they've ever heard that joke before. You might really be a lot of these various guys. You're the guy who sits in seats 7 and 8 that keeps going to the bathroom. That everybody, like, nobody wants to tell you, yo, please stop getting up because you can get up. But we've all been in seats 1 and 2 or 15 and 16 on the aisle that in the beginning you get up and you just kind of move out of the way. But once they keep doing it, you just move your legs to the side and they just got to move around you at that point. You really might be a lot of these various guys now that I'm thinking about it.
First off, we all know the two worst guys are, one, talk about how much I work out guy. Dude who talks about his lifting is the worst guy. Because they also about your protein diet. They'll talk about how much they lift. And then they'll be like, do you even lift, bro? That's the worst guy, first and foremost.
Really quick, though. I actually would say that that guy has turned much more into Instagram workout guy.
That's fair.
Like, because some of you are on Instagram. Some of you aren't on Instagram. When I'm on Instagram stories, I want to see you had a good night. You had a good meal. Pictures with your kids. You're on a vacation. Who wants to watch other people work out on the internet? It's not like somebody showing you how to build muscle or trim fat. It's just, hey, I'm in the gym. Have you ever seen a video of somebody walking on the Stairmaster and felt inspired to go do the same thing? Never. Workout guy is never in a sweat either. You just started this workout. Like, bro, what are you doing? Like, when you think about it, you've never seen Instagram workout guy really going hard. It's always you're doing like some light curls or you do like 2 pull-ups on the bar. You're thinking to yourself, bro, just put your phone down and go work out.
And then he always posts a screenshot of his calories he's burned during. It's always the first story is like watching him do curls. The second part of his story is like he's changing machines. And the third one's a screenshot of his phone. It's like gains. Come on now. No one wants that.
Yeah, I'm sitting here trying to think about it. But Star Wars guy might be the worst. We might need to do this draft.
Anti-soccer guy also really bad.
I don't really think it's as many. Maybe I'm just in the wrong circles. I feel like there was a time that it was cool to hate against soccer. Like, it was cool. It was trendy. I would say it's the same way how people feel about the NBA. Like, some of you treat not liking the NBA like it's a reflection of your character. Like, it's a character trait. Like, it's something you would put in your Tinder background. I hate the NBA and girls would be impressed. Like, y'all be going way too hard on not liking the NBA. That's how anti-soccer guy used to be. It's not really cool to be against soccer anymore the way it used to be. Now, I think there's a lot of people like me. Hey, I've watched it. I've tried it. It's just not really my thing. But hey, if you like it, cool. Like, I don't make soccer jokes. I don't have any issues with them. I would go out to a game, but I wouldn't consider myself to be a fan of soccer. I think there's way more people that are anti-NBA and passionately anti-NBA than are anti-soccer. I don't think that was the case 6-7 years ago.
You're probably right. I mean, this is like different. You're much more the NBA guy, I'm much more the soccer guy. So maybe I bump into anti-soccer guy a lot more than you bump into anti-soccer guy in inverse, because you're right. There is the type of person that tells you how much they hate the NBA.
Passionately!
And they're, my favorite is, I hate it. I refuse to watch. Then how do you hate it so much? How do you know all this stuff to hate it? I hate the NBA. I can't watch LeBron. I know that he drops 26.8 a night. Why do you know that? You hate the sport.
Yeah, no. The anti-NBA guy, it's not like a casual. Like, some of you don't like the NBA because you don't have a team. So it's just, hey, I know it's basketball, but it's hard for me to get emotionally invested in the teams that I just don't have emotional investment in. Some of you passionately hate the NBA. That's the new anti-soccer guy. There's a lot of guys here on the text line. Like, someone says, I knew about that band or artist a long time ago. Guy sucks pretty bad too. Yeah. That guy's not good either. That guy's not good. I will also put cryptocurrency guy that guy is gaining on the list.
You were tiptoeing to become that guy, and then you quit, and now I don't hear about it, and that's fine.
No. I was never a cryptocurrency guy.
You were a cryptocurrency guy, but there was a trend line there for a minute. But you'd come in and be like, hey, have you seen what Doge is doing? No, I haven't seen what Doge is doing. What are you talking about?
All right. That's fair. But no, cryptocurrency guy will take out his phone. He'll show you his app. He'll show you his progress. He'll try to explain it to you. I would just make a casual conversation about it. I was never showing you my Doge portfolio. Sure. Have you and I had numerous conversations about it? Absolutely. I wasn't cryptocurrency guy. Stop it. I'm not going to let you even put that evil on me. I'm not going to let you say that about
you
me. That's not true.
You were not crypto guy, but if you had hit with crypto, you were on a trend line.
100%. If I had made money on crypto, oh yes, I'd 100% would have been crypto guy. I'd have been the biggest crypto guy. Coming up on the other side, Bobby Witt Jr. has been called up to AAA, he and Nick Prado, and I'm finally going to play these audio bits. I've been saying I'm going to play them now for an hour and 15 minutes. I think they're funny. Hopefully you think they're funny. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.